ओम शांति, ओम शांति। Rekindling the spirit of the Yajna. A beautiful topic, because my life and my Yajna, they are very much deeply connected to one another. I am here because of this Yajna. And it is the Yajna that has rekindled the light within me. When I say the Yajna, it reminds me of the Yajna or the sacrificial fires of bhakti. And in the world, whenever people perform the sacrificial fires, their purpose was one thing, and the purpose was purification. Whenever people bought a new house, they would organize a yajna, call all the people, and this was a form of housewarming by having those flames. They felt as if it purified the vibrations of the entire house. In the world, people organize yajnas, but they are for either one day, 7 days, 3 days, not more than that. Because it is said, by organizing this yajna, it is very expensive for people. So if we just look at our Baba, who is a big person who has organized this yajna for 100 years. And that's a wonderful part of this yajna. It is organized by God Himself. And so these yajnas in the world that are organized by big businessmen who are able to afford organizing this limited yajnas. But our Baba is a big businessman who has organized this yajna for 100 years and has a purpose of purifying the entire world, the complete vibrations. Not only that, but if we look at the full name of this yajna, as it is mentioned in Hindi, Avinashi Rudra Gita Kyan Rajasva, it begins with Rajasva, Ashwameg, Rudra, Avinashi, Gita, Gyan, Yajna. Means that it is a sacrificial fire wherein we have to sacrifice the horse. And the horse is not any physical horse, but it is the horse that this body or the mind. And therefore, in those yajnas, they sacrifice 3 things. The first is known as jaw, which is long, the husk of rice, so which is long. The second is mustard seeds or sesame seeds, and the third is ghee, that is liquid purified butter. So these three things are sacrificed. Now if we just imagine, by sacrificing these three things, how can they purify the atmosphere, the vibrations? But this has a spiritual meaning, which Baba comes and explains to us, that the husk is the body, the sesame seed is the mind, and the ghee, or the liquefied butter, is the wealth, the mind, body and wealth. So when we sacrifice these three things, then only there is transformation that is taking place. Transformation or purification that is taking place. So first of all, when we say we have to sacrifice this physical horse, the body, it is not actually the body that I have to sacrifice, but according to Baba's Murlis, if we see the body consciousness, everything begins with the consciousness. And so first of all, when I sacrifice this consciousness of I or mine, which is the cause of all the troubles or all the obstacles that are created in my path, in my life, all the obstacles that people experience in their lives is due to this consciousness of I and my, which they are not able to let go. So this is what first of all I have to sacrifice, so that I can free myself from the obstacles. Even after being Brahmins, we all experience obstacles or some sort of some problems. And if we just look into the subtleness of that problem, somewhere those sanskars of the past, of I and my, have re-emerged, which has created that obstacles or the problems that I'm going through. So Baba has mentioned that this is the first thing that I have to sacrifice. The second thing is the mind. The sesame seed, which is so subtle, represents the mind. And all those thoughts, which we can term as waste thoughts, negative thoughts, or ordinary thoughts, that have to be sacrificed. And the third is the wealth. Where the wealth goes, the mind also goes and the body also goes. In the ancient times, in India, when the families used to live together, it was seen that the elders, they used to take their grandchildren out for a walk. But where would they take? In villages, there was nothing else, nowhere they can take them. So they used to take their children to the temple. those young kids, the grandchildren, holding their hand, they would take to the temples. And the grandfather would fold his hands or would lie down on the floor in respect of offering his prayers. And seeing that, the grandchild would also fall down, lie down, and offer. He has nothing to offer, but he just copies. And then from the pocket, the grandfather would take out a coin of 1 rupee and put it in the donation box. Seeing this, the grandchild would also pull his kurta. He doesn't know how to speak well, so he would say, "Give me also, I would also like to put." And mostly the grandfather would give him 10 cents instead of 1 rupee, 10 paisa, which had no value. But still, he did not care, he did not understand whether it is 1 rupee or 10 paisa. But when he puts that in the donation box, he feels so happy. And he feels as if I have also contributed something. I have also put that in this box. And then for some time, they would sit outside the temple and come back home. But next day evening again, as soon as the sun starts setting, the grandchild would go to the grandfather and start pulling his kurta, would say, "Come on, come on." And you ask him, "Where do you want to go?" He would fold his hands and show, "Let us go to the temple." These were the sanskars that were kindled in those children by the elders. The first day, the body goes, the wealth goes. The next day, the mind goes. Again the body goes, and again the wealth goes. So these three are very deeply connected. But in today's age, the families have become nucleus. Parents and children are living somewhere in the cities. Grandparents are living somewhere in the villages. And now the parents both are working. They don't have time to take the children to the temple. And in the evening when the parents come after working, they are so much stressed, they have so much to do at home also. So the mother is busy in cooking and cleaning and everything. And the father, when he comes, is full of tension. So he'd ask the child, "Can you just go down to the shop nearby where they sell cigarettes? Just get me a packet of cigarette." So the body goes, the wealth goes. And when he brings that packet of cigarette and he sees his father smoking, and after smoking saying, "Now I've experienced some lightness." So the child wonders, by bringing out this smoke, how can one feel light? How can his headache go away? So the next day when the parents are not there, he feels, "Let me try." So this is how the sanskaras in the present day are cultivated. Now when Baba comes and he has established this eternal Rudra Yajna, which is on the basis of the knowledge of Gita. Gita Jnana Yajna. So it is a yajna where you get understanding. the understanding about my real identity. Because the whole knowledge of Gita, if we see, that first Arjuna, the first chapter, Arjuna is going through so much of trauma inside. He has a lot of questions. He is so confused. He doesn't want to fight. He doesn't want to go through all those turmoils of life. So he's refusing. I don't want to fight anymore. And then the first knowledge that is given to him in the second chapter is about the soul. And making him aware of his real identity, of his swadharma, of his own religion, of his own identity. And then, on the basis of this identity, how he has to perform actions, karma. And in order to do that, he has to have a stable mind and intellect. So this is the first knowledge that is given to him in the second chapter. In the third chapter, then he is told about the eternal actions. Karma Yoga is taught to him. And what is Karma Yoga? It is mentioned in the third chapter of Gita, where God says, I have come and established this yajna, this sacrificial fire, through which you will be transformed into deities. And so whatever karma you do for the yajna, that is true karma yoga. So Baba has also told us, it is not just mind, body and wealth that are deeply connected in this yajna, but together with that, the three things that are also connected are mansa, vacha and karmana. The power of thoughts, the power of speech and the power of karma. These three are also deeply connected. So, he has come to establish this yajna, but the power of thoughts is first that I have to pay attention upon. So in this eternal Gita Gyan Yajna, the first transformation that takes place is in my thoughts. As soon as I receive this knowledge, the first transformation that we can see in ourselves is something is changing. My way of thinking is changing. My way of being is changing. My way of being in this world, being with others, being with nature, everything is changing gradually. The second thing is, as soon as the thoughts start changing, then my speech also starts changing. My way of talking, my way of speaking also starts changing. Normally the language that we were speaking before was at a very gross level, at a very worldly level, outward consciousness, but as soon as we become Baba's children, our speech starts changing from that gross to higher plane. We go on into another level. And that level is of soul consciousness. So when my speech also changes. And the third thing that changes is my karma also starts changing. First, my karma was on the basis of everything physical, and that is why the stress was also accumulated in us. But now, our karma is more at a subtle level as I start understanding the karma philosophy. And when we understand the karma philosophy, I am aware of each and every karma that I am doing. What is the quality of my karma? Whether I am going to benefit myself and others, or whether I am trying to just be in an ordinary level, do karma as I was doing before, on the basis of the old habits, old sanskars, everything old. So when I realize myself, I change my karma from that ordinary level, physical gross level, where I did not even care whether I hurt somebody, whether I hurt somebody's feelings. I didn't care. But now, after being Baba's children, and when I pay attention to my karma, I know I can't hurt anyone, because the karma philosophy, the secrets of karma are very deep. It is going to come back to me in some way or the other. So I start paying attention to the quality of thoughts, to the quality of speech, and to the quality of my karma. So these three are also very deeply connected. And the first three are also very deeply connected in yajna, in my being in yajna. Another thing that we realize after becoming Baba's child, that I have to sacrifice this, not just ego, but the subtlety of each and every weaknesses. Because until and unless I do not sacrifice those subtle weaknesses also, till then I cannot be purified. I cannot become pure. And I have to become pure. This is what Baba has told me. This is Baba's Srimad that I am getting. When Baba comes to establish this yajna, he also comes and establishes this yajna in three forms. As a father, as a teacher, and as a Satguru. And so in the Murli also, every time he reminds us by telling, who is sitting in front of you? The Father, the Supreme Teacher, and the Supreme Guru. What does the Father do? Father gives me my identity. It is because of the Father that I am here. So he gives me, or he makes me aware of my family values, of my identity, of how I am, how I should be. All this is given by the Father. But then, as a Supreme Teacher, what does he give me? He gives me the clarity of my purpose, of my being here. So when the purpose becomes clear, just as in the worldly school, colleges or universities, where a student becomes aware of what he has to become, what he is going to become, so his purpose becomes clear. So as a teacher, he gives me a very clear purpose of why I am here. What is my identity, but why I am in this world, that clarity is given by the teacher. And then the Sadguru gives me the Srimat. By giving me the Srimat, he makes me aware of each and every karma that I'm doing. Gives me directions of what is right, what is wrong. What I have to do, what I don't have to do. So this directions enables me to elevate myself. So this is the yajna with three things. The mind-body wealth, the mansa, vacha and karmana, and it is established by Bap, teacher, Sadguru. The father, teacher and Sadguru. So when I'm clear about all those values, the family values, the social values or my spiritual values as being in this yajna, and how I have to conquer those habits which I was so much indulged in, which I thought as if to be my normal life, which was part of me, and now I realize I have to overcome them, even the subtle weaknesses I have to overcome them, then only that purification process starts taking place. Otherwise, it won't take place. Isn't it? So the Srimad gives me the idea. And it is not that I have to hold the Srimad and walk in my Brahmin life, but it is, I have to give my hand in the hand of Srimad. There is a difference. And what is the difference? That once there was a father who was taking the child to a place where there were a huge crowd to see something. It happened so that suddenly there was a very strong wind that started, and there was so much of some things going wrong, so everybody was running here and there. So the father said to the child, "You hold my hand. You hold my hand." So the child said, "No, you hold my hand." So the father said, "There is no difference." So the child said, "There is a difference. My hands are small. If I try to hold your hand, there is a chance for me to just get separated, because I won't be able to handle any pressure that may come. But if you hold my hand, because your hand is big, it will hold it so tightly, no matter what may come, whatever pressure may come, but you will never let me go. That is the trust I have." So similarly, me trying to hold Srimad, maybe I may sometimes rule off that Srimad. Being in the yajna. Sometimes because of the past sanskaras or because of some of my weaknesses coming in my way, I may be able to compromise and think it is normal, nothing happens. But if I give my hand in the hand of Srimad, then Baba will never let me go. Means I have respect for each and every direction that Baba gives me. And I accept it with that feelings of regard. Whose Srimad is this? I'll never compromise with that Srimad. But I will hold onto those directions in my life as if it is for me. This is rekindling. I have to rekindle that spirit of following each and every Srimad of Baba as it is. I have to rekindle my spirit with that love which Baba has showered onto me, which Baba has showered upon me, and that I have to shower on all. That is the spirit. I have to rekindle that spirit, that this is my yajna. My yajna. Nobody else. And so when it is my yajna, it is my responsibility. So rekindling that spirit means coming back to that awareness that this is my responsibility. Of whatever is going on, I am responsible. And I have to see that everything is moving accurately. So that is the spirit that I have to rekindle. Why? Because in order to become the protectors of yajna, Brahmins have always played a major role. In the worldly yajna also, it is always the Brahmins who would perform the yajna and make others also do everything accurately. The people in the world, they don't know anything. It is the Brahmins who would start speaking or uttering the mantras. And as they utter the mantras, they know everything, the meaning and everything very well. The ordinary people do not know what they are speaking. So the Brahmins have a major role being as a protector of that yajna. So that is the role that Baba has given me. I am that Brahmin who has to utter the mantras. What is a mantra? What is a mantra? Mantra is a piece of advice given to the mind. Literal translation is, it's a piece of advice given to the mind of what is to be done. Or, which protects the mind, mantra. It is made up of two words. Man means the mind, and tra means protection given to the mind from wandering away. Because it is very easy for the mind to just wander away, to slip off. So, a constant protection has to be given to the mind so that it doesn't wander away. And in order to give protection to the mind, this piece of advice is given to the mind so that if you go on repeating that, the mind is protected. It will not wander away because it gets busy in uttering. So that is the piece of advice that is given to the mind. Like just one mantra, Om Namah Shivaya, which means salutations to Shiva. This is a mantra. So when a person goes on chanting that, is so busy in chanting that his mind has no time to just wander off. But if he is not busy, the mind has the tendency to wander off. So similarly, Baba has also given us a lot of pieces of advices to keep the mind busy. So that we protect our mind from wandering away into the world. Our mantras are not at a physical level that we go on chanting with our physical mouths, but through the mind. When Baba has given us this mantra of Manmanabhav, Madhyaji Bhava. Or Baba has given us this mantra, keep your mind constantly in my remembrance. So our mantras are at the spiritual level. And when at the spiritual level, at a subtle level, we just practice those mantras, I keep myself protected. Following those pieces of advices that Baba has given us, I keep myself controlled, disciplined. So the horse has to be sacrificed. The second meaning of the horse is the mind, which is like a horse, wandering here and there. So the physical body is also a horse, but the subtle mind is also the horse. Sacrificing the physical body, the physical horse, means where I get committed to yajna. My commitment to yajna is that I am truly the protector of this yajna. That is the commitment. And so, physically also, whatever karma I do, I ensure myself that I do not defame Baba in any way. That is my commitment. Being a part of this yajna is I have adopted those culture or those disciplines that Baba has given me, and I see that I do not become an instrument in defaming Baba's name in any way. So that is the spirit that I have to rekindle in myself, that commitment. And at the subtle level, when I sacrifice the horse, the mind, means where I do not use my manmat against Srimat. Baba Srimat is completely for me and it is always for my benefit. Maybe sometimes I may feel by using my manmat that Srimat, it is better I follow some things which I feel practical being in this world. So this is where I start mixing manmat with Srimat. And when I do that, what happens? First of all, I cannot become the protector of yajna because the vibrations are being spoiled because of that manmat. And I am responsible for disturbing those vibrations because of my manmat. So Baba has given me the Srimat because the Srimat means purifying that vibrations. But when I use my manmat, I am spoiling the vibrations unknowingly maybe or because of my limited thinking. Secondly, in some way or the other, I harm myself also and I harm somebody else who are with me also. So, sacrificing this horse of the mind, the wandering mind, which is the wandering horse, means in Srimat, I do not mix any manmat. This is my responsibility. Because then only I will be able to bring benefit in myself and bring benefit in all those who are around me. Yajna does not just mean the walls. Yajna does not mean the institution that I am in. It's not an institution. Baba has never given this word as an institution to this. But Baba has always given it a name as sacrificial fire, yajna. Yajna means very sacred. Something that is so pure. So it is not an organization, it is not an institution, it is a yajna. And yajna means something very sacred. Something that is very sacred, I hold it to my heart. Something that is very sacred is beyond my identity also. I hold it to that level. Where I value it, something which is very sacred for me is something which I value. Every moment I know its value. And when I hold it to my heart, I value it, then I can realize my value also. My value is because of yajna. So yajna is that sacred thing that Baba has given me. And that is why I am the protector of this yajna. I am the protector of all the disciplines that Baba has given me. I am the protector of all the principles that Baba has given me. I am the protector of all the maryadas. Because that is something very sacred. So when I understand the sacredness, then I know how to follow it. I do not compromise with it. So it is said this yajna is something very sacred. All the deities that are shown in the world, all those in the temples, all those deities, most of them are shown on a lotus flower. Or holding a lotus in their hand. What does it signify? Being on that lotus flower means being in the yajna. That is the lotus, which keeps me aloof from all the worldly dirt. Lotus is where even somebody, if they sprinkle any dirt on it, the petals are so soft and silky that immediately just slides. So my being in the yajna is like on the lotus, which keeps me safe from all the worldly dirt. It cannot touch me. Touch me means it cannot touch my mind. That is why it is so pure. And this is my memorial. If I am that deity in the temple and I am on that lotus and I am holding that lotus signifying this was the value I gave to my life. So, yajna is sacred. And therefore, in order to protect this something which is so sacred, Brahmins. Brahmins are not any caste, according to Baba. Brahmin is not a caste, but it is those group of people who have observed that sacredness in their life in order to protect this sacred yajna. And which is those sacred things that we have adopted in our life so that I purify my life in such a way that I keep the sacredness of the yajna. First thing, Brahmins are on the basis, identified on the basis of five things. First, Brahmins are those who have adopted Brahmacharya. Brahmacharya means celibacy. Or, whatever Brahma Baba has taught us, we put our footsteps in Brahma Baba's footsteps and follow each and every single way of life, way of being according to Brahma Baba. So it is that culture that I have adopted and I'm committed to adopt it throughout my life. So celibacy or brahmacharya, following each and every karma footsteps of Brahma Baba. Secondly, is Brahmins are those who wake up in Brahma Muhurat. Brahma Muhurat means Amrit Vela. Brahma means that divine time. So the time is also so sacred. So I begin my life in that moment, in that time. I begin my routine waking up at that time. So brahmacharya, Brahma Muhurat. The third, I'm a Brahmin because I possess the knowledge of Brahma. Brahma Gyan. And Brahma Gyan means the entire knowledge of the past, present and future, the knowledge of the complete drama, the three aspects of time, the three worlds, and the knowledge of the seed and the entire tree. That is Brahma Gyan. The knowledge of Brahma means the vastness or the unlimitedness where it cannot end, which has no end. That knowledge has no limit. That knowledge has no end. The vastness of that knowledge is so much. That knowledge I possess. So my each and every way of being is in the unlimited. My attitude is in unlimited. That is the sacredness. I do not go below into the dirt, but it is above. And the three worlds are like above. I'm in that vastness. Not downwards, but up. That vastness. The fourth, we are those Brahmins who are the mouth-born progeny of Brahma. Brahma Mukhvamshavali. The mouth-born progeny of Brahma. Who are born, who does not have a physical birth, but who have a spiritual birth. And every moment I am reminded of my spiritual birth. That my spiritual birth has a definite purpose of my being in this world. Where I am connected not just to myself, but I am connected to the entire world. Because each and every child is a child of Shiva Baba. Shiva Baba's child are all Shiva Baba's children. And so, being the mouth-born progeny of Bap Dada, Brahma Baba and Shiva Baba, I am not an individual, but I am connected to the entire world. So Baba says, if you have to rule the entire world, you have to give knowledge to the entire world. To each and every soul, no soul should be missed out. And fifth, I am a Brahmin because I always eat Brahma Bhojan. You know? The most purest food, which even the deities want to have, they always felt like having that Brahma Bhojan. because it was offered to Baba. And when it is offered to Baba, the pure vibrations enter into that food, which purifies everything. It purifies each and every cell of this body. So the importance of Brahma Bhojan is in the scriptures also. Why deities were longing to have Brahma Bhojan. So on the basis of these five disciplines that I observe in my life, then only I can be the one who can protect this sacred yajna. Brahmacharya, Brahma Muhurat, Brahma Gyan, Brahma Mukhavashavali, and Brahma Bhojan. Everything begins with Brahma. These five words in India especially, but giving the literal translation, that also has connection. And so, this is how I can become the protector of yajna. In the beginning, when we had said this, Rajasva means Swaraj, where I have this right or the authority on my senses also. Not this physical senses, but the subtle senses also. The mind, body, mind, intellect and sanskars also. So having a complete right on my way of thinking, my each and every decisions that I take through the intellect. Because normally, if I just am not clear in my intellect, and a small mistake I make, I will become responsible for generating that weakness, may be in the minds of many, or trying to create in some way or the other some misunderstanding or confusion in the minds of others. So if I am the protector of the yajna and I take a wrong decision because of lack of clarity, then I am responsible for all those people who starts coming under confusion and who create a misunderstanding in their lives also and do something wrong. So that is how my importance is. That I should never become an instrument of creating a misunderstanding or a confusion in the minds of others. That is how I have to have the authority upon my intellect. So not just my way of thinking, which Baba has changed according to the knowledge, but together with that, my way of taking decisions or understanding or discerning what is right, what is wrong. And then my sanskars, having that authority on my old habits. Old sanskaras. Sometimes, when I come to Baba, life is so beautiful. We feel as if we have come into another world which is so nice and everything is good. But we forget that in the world, although it is a world of Maya, people are indulged, so there is no difference for them. But when we come to Baba, we enter another world where every moment Maya is challenging us. And we are also challenging Maya. And when we challenge Maya, means I have to have victory upon my old sanskaras. Small things which really irritate me maybe. Small things which make me come under the influence of feeling, coming under the influence of the flow of feeling, getting upset, getting disturbed. It's not just the big vices that I have to conquer from my sanskaras, but these subtle sanskaras, these subtle weaknesses, which also plays a very great role in creating my stage or becoming an obstacle in creating that stage or in protecting that yajna. So, it is not just that when I come here that I become a protector of yajna, or if I live here, then only I become a protector of this yajna, wherever I am in the world. When I am following those disciplines, I am a protector of the yajna. Because I am committed. And so, the moment I share knowledge with others, and the knowledge is so beautiful, everybody realizes such beautiful thoughts you people give. People are also realizing this in the world. Everybody can feel, yes, the knowledge is so unique. The knowledge is so beautiful. And the moment I start practicing, means every moment I'm challenging Maya. I'm challenging my weak sanskaras. And in that, sometimes, I'm able to overcome, be victorious, but sometimes, Maya becomes powerful, empowers me. So every moment, I have to rekindle that fire in me. And the fire is of knowledge, the fire of yoga. Both have to be rekindled in such a way that every now and then I can be victorious upon all those smallest weaknesses also. Then only I am yajna. That's why I said yajna is not just this walls or not an institution. Each one of us is a yajna. Each one of us. And that is why Baba loves us so much, because each one of us is so sacred, so pure. Moving on this path, with that spirit, Baba also knows, and we also know sometimes, we also feel, when we are challenged by Maya every now and then, we feel, yes, this path is not easy. But still, I do not lose the hope. I do not lose the courage. I do not lose the temper in me. But I am moving constantly forward with that temperament. Moving every now and then. And that is how I become a protector of this yajna. Being in this yajna, for me, around 45 years now, more than that, and I've seen this yajna growing. Half the years I've been here, so I've seen how it has grown from that small Madhuban, to Gyan Sarovar and to Shantivan and to so many centers around the world in so many countries. And it reminds me when Om Shanti Bhavan was being made. And during that time, yajna did not have that much of resources. And when Prakashmani Dadi, we saw her that with that commitment, as if she is that yajna. And how she made everyone also follow those disciplines and rekindle that spirit every now and then. And so when she announced that Om Shanti Bhavan is being made, and everyone who are this part of yajna, who are so sacred, They have to contribute. And how much? 25 paisa, 25 cents. Just 25. Which the most poorest person can also contribute. 25 cents was nothing. And during that time, maybe it was about 100,000 people who were in part of this yajna. So each one contributed, and that Om Shanti Bhavan was made. Just still today also the most unique creation, because everybody's mind, body, wealth was in it. Everyone thought it is my yajna, and that is how they contributed. Not just the physical wealth, but it reminds me how Prakashmani Dadi also used to stand there, and big stones. Whatever everyone can, even the smallest stone also, we used to gather in that vessel, and this is how they used to take from one place to another. And the whole Om Shanti Bhavan was created. That spirit was so powerful. And with that spirit, many a times people ask, how is it that you are able to manage? Even when we go to the sannyasis ashrams, they also ask sometimes. We receive so much of donations, but still we are not able to manage. How can you manage big projects, big campuses? And then Dadi used to answer very lovingly, one who has such a big family, are you asking them, whose each and every person is earning physically also, are you asking them how your expenses are met? So, when Gyan Sarovar was being built, I witnessed that also. Dadi announced 1 rupee. Everyone contributing 1 rupee. For 1 year. And during that time, we had about 500,000 people who were part of this yajna. And everybody contributed 1 rupee. And that 1 rupee created this Gyan Sarovar. Per day, 500,000 rupees per day for 1 year multiplied by 365. Can't we build this Gyan Sarovar? So we always say the Gyan Sarovar is built in 1 rupee, contributed by everyone. And it reminds me, there was a sister from one of the centers, very poor. She never came to Madhuban. She was so poor, but when she heard this, she thought, I should also contribute. So she was laboring. When the big buildings are made, the laborers are there. So she was a laborer there in one of the cities. And every day she would save 1 rupee from whatever the income they had daily wages. So from that she used to save 1 rupee every day. And accumulated that 1 rupee for 1 year, and she made for every day 1 rupee or sometimes 2 rupees also she accumulated. But out of whatever she had accumulated, she bought a gold ring. And she gave it to her teacher and said, I won't be able to go to Madhuban. But give this ring to Dadi. And tell her, at least put my 1 brick and cash this ring and put my 1 brick. And you know what Dadi did? She put on that ring, she came to class and showed everyone, look at this. This is why Gyan Sarovar is being made by the spirit of those souls who were not able to visit Madhuban, But still they have contributed. They have put their bricks here. Such is Baba. He is the one who is the protector of all those poor. Garib Niwas, as Baba says. He is the protector or caretaker of all those poor ones. And that is why he does not touch those millionaires. They are not able to understand knowledge. He touches those poor mothers, those poor people, and makes them world emperors. And what was surplus of Gyan Sarovar, Shantivan was also built. And that continued, not just for 1 year, but then it went on for 2 years, 3 years. And we can see how the yuk is coming up. 1 rupee of each and every one. This is how we become the protectors of this eternal yajna. We have built it with our own strength of mind, body and wealth. It is built with the strength. And that is why it is so sacred. It is so sacred. Because everybody's pure thoughts, because they follow celibacy, so the body is also becoming purified. The body is getting purified, and because we eat Brahma Bhojan, each and every cell has become sacred, and the wealth also becomes sacred. So that is how I become true protectors of this yajna. And this is the spirit that I have to rekindle, because somewhere or the other we have, instead of getting together, somewhere we are again not able to identify ourselves, and so we feel as if, okay, knowledge is there, Baba is giving, I have to practice that, that's all. No, I am part of this yajna. Yajna is not the walls, yajna is not the institution, yajna is not an organization, yajna is me. This is the spirit that I have to bring. And when I feel yajna is me, my each and every thought, word, action, my mind, body and wealth becomes this part of the yajna. Right? So that spirit of love, that spirit of my being the yajna, or that belongingness to this yajna, the spirit of commitment, the spirit of responsibility, all this spirit I have to rekindle. Rekindling this spirits within me. Right? Theek hai? Om Shanti.